Welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks with expert advice from Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert. Jim is also the author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. To find out more about his book, his practice, Lang Financial Group, and how to secure Jim as a speaker for your next event, visit his website at paytaxeslater.com. Now, get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm Nicole DiMartino, Marketing Director for the Lang Financial Group, located in Squirrel Hill, just a couple miles outside of our beautiful city of Pittsburgh. Sunny tonight, not like last show when we were on the brink of disaster with the tornadoes and whatnot. As always, I'm here with your Roth IRA expert, Jim Lang, one of the country's top IRA experts. He's a CPA and attorney with 30 years of experience. He's also the best-selling author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. Today, we are going to be covering a lot of material, and I'm going to tell you up front, right now, tonight's show is live, and the phone lines are open. It's a great night to call in with your questions. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, but we are going to take all the questions. I know last week, we didn't have time, so feel free to call in and get those answered. Jim's here, obviously, to answer those for you. The phone number here in the studio is 412-333-9385. That's 412-333-9385. Just a second here. Jim's going to take over and talk for a little bit, and we'll certainly get to your questions. But again, 412-333-9385. Now, last week, some of you, or 2 weeks ago when we were on the show, I mentioned Jim. He is coming out with another book, a new book specifically on his favorite topic, Roth IRA conversions. And let me tell you, he is working morning, noon, and night, even weekends on this book. Every moment he's working on the book, it's been accepted by a publisher. And when do you think this is going to be available for everybody?
Well, we're hoping probably by the end of maybe September.
Okay.
That it will be available on Amazon and through our office.
All righty. How about this weekend? You going to plow through some more?
Actually, you know, I've been working just about, I have been working nights and weekends. And the reason is because you get interrupted too much in the day.
Sure.
And it's just tough because it takes a certain period of uninterrupted time. This weekend is boys' weekend.
Oh boy! I don't boys, like the sound of that.
Well, we've been doing this, I think, close to 20 years. It's actually my high school buddies, and we get together every year, and we basically have a 4-day weekend, and we hang out, and you know, we get really wild. You know, we play bridge.
Oh my goodness!
And
look out!
And frisbee golf, and we really. And that's probably what we'll be doing tonight. It's probably staying up till 2 in the morning playing bridge. But this is boys' weekend.
All right, so a little break this weekend.
A little break
and then
this weekend.
Back at it, right?
Yeah, now I get up a little bit earlier than they do, so I'll probably get in maybe a couple hours in the morning.
Okay, sounds good. Well, don't keep us in suspense. Can you give us a little sneak peek of like what we're in for?
Well, yeah, and the other thing that I thought I would do is I would talk to the people who are working now and talk about what is the best way to save for your retirement. Now, what I'm going to assume is that you have sufficient money that you can maximize your retirement plan contributions. And what I thought I would do is to go through from beginning to end what an employee should do.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
All right. So the first part, and part of this might be a little bit of repetition in that I talked about in Retire Secure, but I'm going to probably emphasize tonight some of the Roth options. The first thing that every employee should do is always, always, always take advantage of any employer match. So, for example, if you work at the University of Pittsburgh, if you put in 8% of your salary, they will put in 12%. So that's 150% return on your investment in day one. You don't even think about that. You steal from your mother. You do anything to get the money. You don't really steal from your money.
No,
but
of course
not. you do anything you can to make sure that you at least put that much in. So I'm going to assume that everybody's going to do that. All right, so let's say that there is still additional money.
Okay.
All right, in most cases, and we'll talk about the exceptions, but most cases I'm interested in getting into the tax-free environment. I don't want you to have to pay taxes ever on money that you're going to eventually withdraw from those retirement plan contributions. And the two types of tax-free investments in your retirement plan are Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. All right, if you are 49 or younger and you make more than $5,000, you qualify to put $5,000 into a Roth IRA. If your spouse is working and you have another $5,000 of earned income, you can actually contribute money for your spouse. So if, even if just one of you is working, you could put in $5,000 each for your Roth IRAs. If you are 50 or older, that amount goes to $6,000. So that's going to be the next place I'm going to look. Then the next choice, and by the way, there are income caps on that. I think it's about $180,000 is going to start phasing out what your the allowed contribution for the Roth IRA. Then I'm interested in if you have access to it. And here's a big if. I'm a big fan of the Roth 401k. Now, the Roth 401k is a kind of a unique beast. It's not a regular IRA, and it's not even a regular 401k, and it's not a Roth IRA. It's its own unique beast. It is an employer-sponsored plan, but unlike a traditional 401k, where when you make a contribution, you get a tax deduction, or looked at, you don't pay taxes on the money. With a Roth 401k, you don't get a tax deduction. But just like a regular Roth IRA, the 401k grows income tax-free. Now, what's interesting about the Roth 401k for a lot of our listeners is that there is no income limit on how much money you can earn. So even if you're earning $1 million, you can still put money in a Roth 401k where you would be precluded from putting money into a Roth IRA. The other thing is the limitations are pretty high. You could put up to $16,500, I should know that, into the Roth 401k if you are 49 or younger and you have sufficient income that you can afford to do that. And if you are 50 or older, you can put in $22,000. So it's really a substantial amount of money that you can contribute to these retirement plans. And what to me is, I can't understand why more companies don't offer for Roth 401ks. I don't know why any company would not include that as one of the options for their employees. So, for example, in our small firm, you know, we have 10, to, you know, sometimes during tax season, maybe 12 people, and we offer all our employees the in addition to what I contribute. And the portion that I contribute is traditional mm-hmm. IRA or 401k. It is not Roth 401k. So my portion, there's no choice on that. My portion is traditional pre-tax 401k. The after-tax portion, though, the Roth 401k, that's up to the employee. They can do the traditional 401k or the Roth 401k, their choice. I don't know why more companies don't offer Roth 401ks.
Now, for a company to offer that, does it cost the company anything or any more? Is that why they don't offer it? Or
it's going to be minimal cost. They have to do an amendment to their retirement plan document, which is no big deal.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if it was, I don't know if it cost us a couple $100s. It might have even been nothing. There's a little bit more accounting involved because now people could have two different types of accounts. On the other hand, with today's software, it's hard for me to imagine that that's much extra time.
Sure.
So I really, in fact, I'm sometimes in front of HR people and benefits people, and I'm telling them, we really highly recommend that you offer the Roth 401k, because it really, the costs are really minimal, and the difference to the employee over time can be quite substantial. So I think that is the next area. If you are an employee, you should check to see if you have access to it after you have maxed out the matching portion, after you have maxed out your Roth IRA. The next area would be the Roth 401k if that is available to you.
So do both if you can.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Well, the matching portion, I mean, actually, it could end up being that you just put money. It's the employer portion that is the traditional.
Okay.
So yours could just be
go into the Roth.
If they have it. What I have found, at least most of the companies in Pittsburgh, they do not offer it. Mm. Now, the universities have just got around to it. So I was talking about that. And in that case, by the way, if you're a university employee or a hospital employee, instead of a Roth 401k, you will likely be offered a Roth 403b because your retirement plan is not a 401k, it's a 403b, usually, not always, but usually with TIAA-CREF as your primary investment option. That's pretty typical of universities.
Okay. All right. So those are the things that you can get from your employer.
Well, we haven't talked about the traditional 401k.
Right, exactly. Okay.
All right. So let's assume that you are precluded from putting money into a Roth. Then, if you can afford it, I want you to put the maximum into your traditional 401k plan, which is, you know, you don't pay taxes on it, or looked at another way, you get a tax deduction, the money grows tax deferred, and then when you eventually take the money out, presumably after retirement, you will have to pay taxes on it.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's say that you have maxed out those possibilities.
Okay.
There's still additional money you can put away, and this is very important for people in the upper income strata. If your income is too high to qualify for a regular Roth IRA, you can put money in a non-deductible IRA. In fact, you know, a lot of people, probably a lot of our older listeners, remember when they made too much money to be allowed to put money in a traditional IRA. So they put back then it was $2,000. They put $2,000 into a non-deductible IRA. So they have some non-deductible or after-tax dollars, and that was better than not doing anything. Well, it's the same thing today, except the limits are even higher. So you're allowed to put $5,000 in a non-deductible IRA, or if you are 50 or older, $6,000, and you can put $5,000 for yourself and $6,000 for your spouse. So I am a big fan of that. Now, the other thing that we can do is we don't want to forget our self-employed friends. Let's say you are self-employed, and let's keep it real simple. You have no employees. You can set up your – a lot of my clients, before they come see and talk to me about this, they might have an SEP or a simple mm-hmm. plan. Well, I think they can do a lot better. I think that they can have their own one-person 401k plan. And there's two big advantages to having your own personal 401k plan if you are still working. And by the way, these are the simple advantages. I won't get into the more sophisticated ones where you're making Roth IRA conversions of non-deductible IRAs. That's another topic for another day. Great topic, though. The other thing that I like about it is you can put away more money, and even in your one-person Roth 401k plan, you can have a Roth 401k in that one-person Roth plan. And that's something I don't see a lot of, except for the people that we advise to do that.
Now, if you are a business owner and you want the single 401k, who can set that up for you?
Well, probably just about anybody.
Anybody? Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, our firm helps a lot of people with that, but sure. I don't want to say we're the only game in town. In fact, I would say that probably most, you know, whether it's if you're a Vanguard investor or if you're a TIAA-CREF guy or you go to the local bank or maybe you're a do-it-yourselfer.
Okay.
So most anybody's going to offer a one-person 401k plan. It used to be a lot worse. It used to be that you would have to go to an attorney and you'd pay him a couple $1,000s and it'd set up a plan. And then there was always, you know, changes to the plan. You'd have to get him. You'd have to pay the attorney to do the amended plan document. And it was not insubstantial in terms of fees. Now they basically have off-the-shelf type plans.
Okay.
The only thing that I would caution is I do recommend that if you get that type of plan, you should get the type of plan that will accept a IRA to 401k rollover but will not accept an after-tax or non-deductible IRA to 401k rollover. And the reason for that is I alluded earlier to that strategy of making a Roth IRA conversion without having to pay the tax if the money that you're converting is from a non-deductible IRA or after-tax dollars inside a retirement plan. So you do want to be a little bit careful about which particular type of 401k plan you choose.
This is great because I know a lot of our listeners are definitely still working, and this is a lot of options here. So I think I'm almost going to put you on the spot here, and I want to ask you, I'm not going to give my age over the radio here, but I'm in my 30s. What would be the best scenario for me with all of these options?
Well, as you know, and you know, we have a matching plan, so
right.
a certain portion of your contribution would be matched, or my contribution.
Right.
So that's free money. You always
do that. I'm going to take that. Absolutely.
Right. All right. Then you're going to have, and let's assume for discussion's sake, we don't want to talk about your salary, but let's say take two possibilities. One, that your salary is such that you are allowed to make a Roth IRA contribution. That I would certainly do that because you're younger than 50.
I'm writing 50, this down.
It'd be $5,000. All right. And the next issue that you have, though, is do you put money in a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k, because you have the choice.
Right.
All right. My starting point is going to be the Roth 401k.
Okay.
All right. You're not going to get a tax deduction, so it's not going to feel quite as good.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you're really actually contributing more money to your retirement plan.
Okay.
All right. So let's say for discussion's sake, let's just say that you think that you could afford $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also say that you're, for discussion's sake, in the 33%. Well, no, that all right. And you're in that's simple 33% bracket. That way, in effect, if you did a traditional 401k, you're putting in $15,000, but you're getting a tax deduction for it. So you get a refund of $5,000. If you think about it, you're really only putting $10,000 into a retirement plan, because you get the tax deduction, you get that money back.
Right.
So the only money that's growing tax advantaged, all right, even though it was the $15,000, you're really not putting in $15,000 of purchasing power. You're really putting in $10,000. If you do a Roth, on the other hand, a Roth 401k, you're actually putting in the full amount. And, of course, the other thing that I really like about that is it is growing income tax-free for you. And because you are so young, you'll have many years of income tax-free growth for that Roth 401k to build and build and build. And then presumably at retirement, you can take that money out income tax-free.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's great information. What we're going to do, we're going to take a little break now. The studio lines are open. We will take your calls, 412-333-9385. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We're talking about accumulating money while you're still working. We're going to talk about after the retirement party that your coworkers have. What do we do in the estate planning process? We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Lang Money Hour, when smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Well, thank you. We're back, and we are certainly talking smart money here. This is Nicole DiMartino, and I'm here with Jim Lang, and we were just talking about, when you're still working, what's the best possible places that you can accumulate your dollars. Now, I'm looking here at the screen. We do have a caller, so let's see. We have Tony from Baldwin. Tony, are you available?
Yeah, I am. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, fine, thanks.
Thanks for calling in tonight. Why don't you ask Jim here? I'm looking at your question, but why don't you tell him yourself?
Okay, our company is splitting, the company I work for right now. And then, in fact, the money's frozen right now, but next week it'll be released. And I have the option to take all of the money's out, and I wanted to go put them in my traditional IRA rather than the 401k they're in right now. And then really just, I'm still working for them. It's not going to be a problem, but I'll still put my 6% in, and it'll basically just start at zero. I'm wondering if that's a good strategy to do. It's with one company, and I like the performance better of the company that I have my traditional in. Over the years, I think they've been better. And that's one thing. And the other thing is, should I convert that traditional Roth IRA to a regular Roth? So I may have to come in and talk to you about all that. But
all right, let's take them one at a time. The first question is, you have the option of either keeping the money that's in the 401k plan in a 401k plan or actually making a withdrawal and rolling it into an IRA. Usually, employees of companies don't have that because most companies say if you are an in-service employee, that is, if you're still working, they're not going to let you, particularly if you're younger than 59 and a half, take what's called an in-service distribution. In your case, this is an exception, so you have the choice. You actually identified the key issue. Is you said you like the performance of where your IRA is right now better than the 401k that you are being offered. So that's a pretty easy call for you. That would make a lot of sense to take the money and roll it into, technically the word is trustee-to-trustee transfer. By the way, it's really important. You do not want to get a check. You want to arrange the paperwork so it's like one computer blip to another computer blip. You do not want to get a check and get into that 20% withholding mess and anything else. But
okay.
All right, and you're going to have a couple advantages in doing that. One, you're going to now have control of your IRA, and you can do anything you want with it. Two, you said you like the investment better. The only times that I would probably recommend that you keep it in the 401k is if you had an investment in the 401k plan that you liked better than in an IRA. So, for example, some of the long-standing companies have a guaranteed income contract in their 401k. It's basically a very good bonds or fixed income fund. Some of those people have elected to keep the money in the 401k plan, but that doesn't sound like it's the case for you. So,
yeah.
So it sounds like doing a trustee-to-trustee transfer into an IRA is probably your best move.
Yeah, because I talked to them today, and they were saying that they'd probably send me a check. And now that you say that, I guess I don't want to do that. It should be an electronic funds transfer.
Right. The problem with the check is they're going to have a 20% withholding. And now you're going to get into all kinds of problems. Because you certainly don't want to pay tax on the money, and if they withhold 20%, then that's a certain amount that isn't going back into your IRA. So no, you don't want to have a check. You want to get a trustee to trustee transfer.
All right, I'll tell them that.
All right. Now the second question that you pose is probably a more interesting question: is should you do a Roth IRA conversion?
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of the problems that I'm going to have is that in order to give you a good answer, I have to ask you some confidential information. So you can tell me as much or as little as you want.
Okay.
Probably the most important issue in terms of Roth IRA conversions and whether you should convert your traditional, what will be an IRA, into a 401k, I'm sorry, into a Roth IRA, is actually based on tax brackets. So you're working now, is that correct?
Yes, yeah.
All right. Do you know how many more years you're going to continue working?
At least no more than 10 more.
All right, 10 more. All right, and when you retire, do you know if you'll have Social Security, if you'll have other types of income or minimum required distributions?
I'm retired military, so I have that. A pension, and I'll get a little pension from this job after the 10 more years.
All right.
So I don't plan on touching Social Security till probably I have to almost.
All right. I'm going to talk about that too, but here's what it sounds like. I'm going to go on the assumption that you're going to be at or near the same income tax bracket at retirement as you are right now. Because perhaps right now your military pension hasn't started, your pension from your company hasn't started, and eventually when you hit 70, you're going to have a minimum required distribution of that IRA.
Right.
In that case, it probably is going to make sense for you to do a Roth IRA conversion. Now, the tricky part is how much and when. So, by the way, the other thing I should mention is for it to be an intelligent thing for you to make a Roth IRA conversion, you should have the money to pay the income taxes on the conversion from outside the IRA. Now, again, that's
okay.
Private, so I can't really ask you that on the radio.
Okay.
But I'm going to assume, so let's say for discussion's sake, that it's going to make sense to convert $100,000, and I'll tell you how we get to that number in a minute. In that case, what's probably going to make a lot of sense for you is to pay the income taxes on the conversion from outside the IRA. Now, in terms of how much to convert, there, and again, I would really have to ask you how much you make, which isn't a cool thing on the radio.
Right.
But it's going to be based on your tax bracket. And one of the easy rules of thumb is to convert an amount that will keep you into your existing tax bracket. Now, if you're in the 25% bracket, I might not mind if you made a conversion that would go over and above the 25% into the 28% bracket, but I'm probably not happy about going much higher than that. If you're in the 15% bracket, then doing a conversion that would take you up to the top of the 15% bracket might be appropriate. I'm not a huge fan of going from 15% to 25%. And then, as I talk about my book at length, there's a lot of tricks that you have to be careful of when you do the tax brackets, because, for example, you have to watch out for the fact that dividends from qualifying dividends are taxed at a you get a tax break on that, and capital gains. So it's not necessarily a straightforward calculation, but basically, what might be your best strategy, if I had to guess. Somebody told me no more information, put a gun to my head and said, okay, what's Tony's best strategy? I would most likely say a series of Roth IRA conversions over a number of years.
Okay?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling, Tony.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jim, I see another caller. Do you want to take the caller? Do you want to?
Sure, why not? We'll take another caller.
We have Ed from beautiful Florida on the phone. Ed, are you there?
I'm here.
All righty. How are you this evening?
Okay. Got some quick questions.
Okay. Go ahead.
Shoot, Ed. We're all ready
listening.
For you.
Okay. Can you clear up the aspect of the Roth IRA or 401k with the five-year strip-out rule?
Sure can, Ed. First of all, quick question. Are you listening online?
I was listening online through the Internet, which was coming in very well. I do see that you have this repeated. I believe it will be repeated both Sunday morning, and then it'll be on a site to be able to listen to again.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, all our radio shows are online. It takes maybe about 3 weeks between the time that we do them and we actually post them on our website. But actually, at Retire Secure, we actually have all the shows. And for people, particularly for exercisers who have a computer nearby, if let's say you're on your exercise bike and you just go to the computer and put in one of those shows, that would be a good way to catch up on any shows you might have missed.
So you have an archive list.
Yes.
Yeah, we have an archive list. And the other thing that we're working on, and we're putting in about somewhere around two a week, is we are doing transcripts of those shows. So if people want to go back and read a particular part, and the other thing that we're doing, which is really a big job, but I'll tell you why I'm doing it, we are actually putting tables of contents on those transcripts, because some of the information that we talk about, it, I really think is golden. We've had literally the top Roth IRA and IRA experts in the country, bar none, on our show. We've had Ed Slott, Natalie Schoet, and Bob Keebler, and Barry Picker, he's going to kill me if I forget his name. The guy who's coming next.
John Bledsoe.
Yeah. And I'm probably forgetting other people. But anyway, we've had some very good people talking about pretty high-level strategy. So going to retiresecure.com and going to the Listen Now button, and we have a little table of contents, and you can right now you can listen to all the shows. And the other thing that I like is that you're able to listen online, which isn't even a terrible idea if you're in Pittsburgh, because sometimes you might get a better sound quality no matter where you are in the city. Okay, with that, so is it just, do you have something specific, or do you want me to just talk about the five-year rule in general?
Well, my understanding is if you convert to the Roth IRA, you cannot take anything out of the Roth IRA until it cooks for 5 years. Is that correct or incorrect?
Well, that's actually not correct. There is a five-year rule, but let's talk about what it is. Let's assume for discussion's sake that you're 59 and a half or older so that we don't have that 10% penalty to worry about.
That's fine.
Okay. So now you're always allowed to make a withdrawal either from a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. You can do it the day after you put the money in, a year after, 4 years after. It doesn't matter.
You're
allowed to take the money out.
You're talking about using 72T?
No, forget 72T. Okay. You're older than 59 and a half. You're allowed to get to your money.
Okay.
If it's in a traditional IRA, you have to pay income taxes. Now, here's what the five-year rule says. The five-year rule says if you invest the money and the money grows and you want to take a tax-free distribution of the Roth IRA and the growth on the Roth IRA, then you have to wait 5 years in order for you to take the money out and have the growth be income tax-free. So let's do an example. Let's say you have $100,000 in a Roth IRA conversion, and it's 4 years, 364 days later, all right? And let's say that the $100,000 Roth went up to $150,000, and you take all of it out. Well, you're going to have to pay income tax on the growth of that $50,000. If, on the other hand, you wait one more day, so that whole amount has been in for a full 5 years, all right, then you can take the entire amount out income tax free. Now,
okay.
All right, now let me tell you why I think that the 5 year rule is given more importance than I think it deserves. I think realistically that most people who are doing a Roth IRA conversion are doing it with the intention of long-term tax-free growth. So if you make a Roth IRA conversion and you go into distribution mode, that is, you need to
70 and a half.
Well, that's your required minimum distribution. I'm talking about you're done working, or you're working and you still need to take money from your portfolio, from your IRA, from your Roth IRA.
Okay.
What I would typically tell people is, first, I'd like you to spend your after-tax dollars first, because you've already paid taxes on that. There's no tax consequence except perhaps paying capital gains tax on appreciated assets. Then I want you to take your traditional IRA money, subject to some exceptions, and only then do I want you to take your Roth money. So it's very unlikely for most people who I would make a Roth IRA conversion recommendation that it would make sense to take the Roth money out before the five-year period has lapsed. So that's why, even though a lot of people, everybody always wants to have, you know, liquidity for their funds, and I'm not going to say that liquidity is not good, liquidity is a good thing, but I'll say that it's probably not as important an issue as a lot of people make it, because in general, the best strategy is to spend after-tax dollars first, then traditional IRA or 401k plan money, and then Roth money.
I agree.
Okay.
Understood.
Now, there is a little nuance with the five-year rule. If you make a series of conversions, then each different series starts a new clock ticking. So if you did, let's say, 5 years in a row, you would literally have five different clocks.
You'd ladder it.
Right. On the other hand, if you make a Roth IRA contribution, let's say you make it on year one, then year two, then year three, year four, year five, they all go back as if they were made in year one. But if we go back to my main premise, it doesn't matter anyway, because you're going to want to keep it there for more than 5 years anyway.
Okay. Let's take another question. If you have a substantial sum of money that you're moving from an IRA, or in fact a SEP, into a Roth IRA, you're over 59 and a half years of age, you're in, let's call it for the moment, the 33% tax bracket.
Okay.
Is there any efficacy of, if the tax is going to cost you $100,000 on your Roth, is there any efficacy of borrowing that $100,000 and paying a reasonable interest on the borrow of that, so that you can move the money over into the Roth, pay the interest rate on the borrowing, and have the gain in the investment area of your Roth, and doing it tax-free, going on, of course, the premise that, as we know, taxes are going up, and over the next 10 years they will go up substantially. Borrowing the money to pay the IRS when you take the money out of the IRA and putting it into the Roth. Any efficacy at all?
Okay, let me. There's a couple facets to that question. The first facet is, let's assume that you are in the 33% bracket, and you will, without a change in the tax law, always be in the 33% bracket.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yes.
In that case, there's actually, your taxes are going up next year.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, no. By the way, that's a done deal. That's already passed, and that's your tax rate is going to go up by, I believe, 3%. So if that happens, it certainly does make sense to do a Roth IRA conversion. Now, for the other gentleman, I wasn't sure what his tax bracket was, but I was thinking it might have been 15% or 25%. I was probably more interested in him doing a series of conversions, because if he was in the 15% bracket or even 25% bracket, I didn't want him to pay a big jump in his income tax bracket for the conversion. If you're in the 33% bracket, this year the maximum tax bracket is the 35% bracket. So you're not really hurting yourself very much in terms of income tax bracket by making a large conversion. Now, what most people would do is, if they had the money to pay the taxes from outside the IRA, they would use that money. Usually,
my question is that a proper logical plan? Even if you had that money and it's all after tax money, is it better to go out and get a $100K loan and pay an interest rate that may be LIBOR plus whatever you can get, and pay that loan down while your money is moving, the largest chunk is moving in the Roth?
Well, basically, that's known as arbitrage.
Yes.
All right, that's where you borrow money and you invest the money, and you hope that your investment does better than the interest rate that you are paying.
In this particular instance, I'm not saying that you're going to invest that borrowed money, but you're going to use that borrowed money to pay off the government your taxation as you take the money out of the IRA.
Right. Now, by the way, most of my clients would probably be too conservative to do that. But I would think that if you are a confident investor, it is a reasonable thing. I would probably feel a lot more confident that you could afford to lose it, if you know what I mean. In other words, if somebody is kind of on the borderline of whether they're going to be able to retire securely or not, then I'd be a little bit more hesitant about doing an arbitrage, because the cost of it not working out can make the difference between a secure retirement and an insecure retirement. Usually you see people borrow, or people who are interested in borrowing money to pay the tax on a Roth IRA conversion, is when they don't have the money from outside the IRA to pay the tax. Now, in your case, let's say you do, then that's a pure arbitrage question. Because in effect, you know, you would have the choice of using the money that you have to pay the tax, or you're just going to borrow the money.
Okay, so what you're saying is, it is not categorical. Insane to think in terms of the arbitrage, but what you'd have to do is, in fact, run the numbers on some projection along the way.
Well, I think actually it's hard to run the numbers, because you don't know what the investment return that you're going to get when you make an investment. I will say this, now is probably a pretty good time, because interest rates are very low,
right,
for borrowing. And hopefully the market's going to go up. So even though it's not a conservative strategy, I would say that now's is probably a good a time for that, as I can imagine. Where I would see this more often is in a situation where somebody wanted to do a Roth IRA conversion. They didn't have the money to pay the tax from the outside the IRA. It doesn't make a lot of sense in most cases to do a Roth IRA conversion and pay the tax from inside the IRA.
No.
So the alternative would be to borrow the money to pay the tax, and that would actually be a fairly reasonable strategy. What you're doing is a little bit aggressive, but I don't have a problem with it if you understand the potential risk that you borrow at, let's say, 5 or 6%, and you invest money and you lose 30%, and you're saying, oh, geez, I wish I hadn't done that.
I fully agree. And, in fact, I believe in 10 years from today, taxes will be closer to the 50% bracket.
Well, if you believe that, then it's going to make even more sense. So for example, you know, some of the things that I do in the workshop, because I'm a little bit of a, you know, Missouri type guy, show me what are some real numbers. I talk about some of the actual advantages. So let's say for discussion's sake that you're in a high tax bracket and you're interested in doing a Roth IRA conversion, and let's say it's $100,000. 20 years from now, you will be $93,000 better off. If you then die and leave it to your kids will be $890,000 better off. If you die and leave it to your grandkids, they'll be $12 million better off. That's using an 8% rate.
Sure.
Now, if you are right and taxes go up way beyond how much we already know they're going to go up, then all those numbers are actually conservative. So it could be a great move to do a Roth IRA. Now, the only thing I should tell people is when I give people those high numbers, I should say that's total dollars. If you were to bring that back into 2010 dollars, if the benefit of making a $100,000 Roth IRA conversion, it would be $52,000 in 2010 dollars. If you then die and it goes to your kids will be better off by $235,000 in 2010 dollars, and grandkids $1.1 million in 2010 dollars. But if you are right and taxes are going to go up even more, then locking in that money is going to be a very good strategy for you.
Right. Okay. I appreciate that insight. I'll listen to your program, and I know that you're having a workshop, and I will check to see if U.S. Air flies direct from South Florida to Pittsburgh.
Well, you would be most welcome. The other option for you, by the way, the best way to do it really is to come live.
Yeah.
But for whatever it's worth, we did tape one of those workshops, and we are selling that. So and that's on our website too. So you could actually buy the workshop if you wanted. Of course, we always encourage people to come in. By the way, we actually do have a lot of people coming in from all over the place, and I enjoy that. What we typically do then is we accommodate people, and we tend to have do the workshop and have the free consultation in the same trip.
But you're outside. You're in Monroeville. You're a 15-mile, 20-mile run from the airport.
Yeah.
Probably.
It might be right around there.
Probably 15.
Somewhere around 15 miles.
Okay. There's no provision for being picked up at the airport to come to your workshop.
Afraid not. Maybe that's something we ought to start.
Well, listen, when you get to Ed Slott's point of view, then I imagine you'll be able to do that as well.
Well, Ed Slott, by the way, I really like Ed. He's been on the show twice. He's done a fabulous job. I very much enjoy him. I enjoy his books. I like him personally. He is probably, I think of him more as an advisor to advisors. And there is a component of that in my business, because I know a lot of advisors might buy my books, and a lot of advisors actually buy this workshop that I do. I sell a done-for-you kit for advisors. So, but primarily, I'm actually an individual practitioner. You know, that is, I have my, that's what I do most days. I get up, I have a 7-minute commute to the office. Now, I think the one thing that Ed and I do have in common, though, is that we both think about this stuff all the time. We go to workshops ourselves. We read ourselves. We write ourselves. But I think that one of the differences between Ed and I is I think Ed is probably spending more of his time on advisors. And while I do a lot of that, I still spend my primary time with end clients.
I follow. Tell me, would you announce your office telephone number over the air?
Sure, I'll give that to you.
We just hate doing that, but we'll do it anyway.
Ed, it's 412-521-2732. Now, do you have Jim's book, Retire Secure?
No, but I have two Ed Slott's books, but I will
Well, we
I
have to get you
in.
Jim's. We have to, if yeah. you, my name is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. If you send me an email, Nicole@paytaxeslater.com, I'm going to get one right out to you.
And then we're going to ask you which one you like better.
That's right. We'll have you back on.
they're different. You probably have the retirement time bomb. Is that right?
Yes. And, yeah. And the soft green one as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Those are both very good books. And I obviously like mine better. Ed's a great storyteller. Yeah. And he puts things in a way that people can understand. I tend to be a little bit more quantitative. And there'll be a few more graphs and charts and things like that. What I really think people should do is to read both. But you'll see which ones you like. And I think probably in terms of looking for a practitioner, somebody who can actually do the work and help you with it, I think that probably Ed is not really geared for that as much.
No, I understand that. Okay, I'll go back and listen to the program. I thank you very much, and
thank
I will
you.
Listen intently and get in touch with you.
Very good.
All right,
thanks
great.
For
thanks
calling
again.
Ed.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
Bye now.
Well, that seems like a lot of fun. you know what, Jim? Before we get back into it, I know we have 10 minutes left. This is flying. I promised our friend Bob from Penn Hills. I have to read you his questions. A quick question, though.
Okay.
Okay. Both if him and his wife have an IRA. Here's his question. If we each make a Roth conversion this year, can I pay the full tax on one of our conversions and split the tax in 2 years on the other IRA conversion?
I like his idea.
Creative.
All right. Yeah. I would have to say that Bob has what I would call larceny of the heart. He wants the last drop from the code, which is the absolute right attitude to have. Because let's say for discussion's sake that Bob wanted to stay in a certain tax bracket. Let's say he wanted to go to the top of the 28% bracket. And let's simplify and not even talk about the tax increases. It might be to his advantage to recognize some money in 2010, some in 2011, and some in 2012. And what he's saying is, since in 2010, if you make a Roth IRA conversion in 2010, you have a choice. You can either recognize all the income in 2010. So let's say you do a $100,000 conversion. You recognize $100,000 in 2010, or you recognize $50,000 in 2011 and $50,000 in 2012. And I think what Bob wants to do is go 33, 33, 33, or he wants to mix and match however he wants. Can he do that? Good try, Bob, but the answer is no. It's either all 2010 or half 2011, half 2012. Now, normally, the rule of thumb is don't pay taxes now, pay taxes later. The fact that Jane Brian Quinn says that that's my mantra. Like, I meditate with that. Pay taxes later. but this is, and here I go against that rule, and the reason is because for at least a lot of people in the 25% bracket and higher, they're going to be in a higher tax bracket in 2011 and 2012. So the quantitative projections that we have run, are indicating that it usually makes sense to do to recognize the income in 2010.
All righty, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Thanks. We're back. You're listening to the Lang Money Hour. And we only have a few minutes left here, Jim. Let's go back to what we were talking about originally. I left before we took our callers. I left with the question of what I should do. I'm in my 30s. Obviously, I'm still working. I work for you. Let's just talk about how does that change for people on the cusp of retirement? A little older.
All right. I'm going to go against my rule of thumb that I like Roth 401ks better than traditional 401ks, because let's say for discussion's sake you're in your 60s and you have maybe just two or three more years to work, and then after you retire, you're not going to have income from your wages, you're not going to have a job, and you're not going to have income from your minimum required distribution.
Right.
So it's very easy to predict that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket mm-hmm. later. So what I would rather you do is to do the traditional 401k now while you're in your high tax bracket. Then when you retire, look to do a Roth IRA conversion, and then presumably have at least a bunch of low income tax years before you hit 70 and a half, in which case your income is going to go up because you'll certainly want to take Social Security by then, and you'll also have your minimum required distribution. All right. Now for retirees, then it's another interesting issue. Now again, if you're a retiree and you have the luxury of having a low income because you have not yet hit 70 and a half, that's probably a great time to make a Roth IRA conversion. 2010, by the way, is the best year. First, it's the first year if your income is more than $100,000. And the second thing is, it is a great year because income tax rates are lower now than they will be in future years. So a lot of times, for a lot of the retirees that we're seeing, a series of conversions over time makes a lot of sense. By the way, if you are about to retire, you're retiring, you should be real careful about two things that you have to check on. And I stress this when I talk to financial advisors. You have to look for two things, and don't let these fall into the cracks. You have to look for, number one, after-tax dollars inside your IRA. That gets treated differently, and we have some, well, I don't want to use the word tricks, but we have some tax planning techniques that in certain circumstances we can convert those after-tax dollars inside an IRA to a Roth IRA without having to pay the tax. The other thing that you have to look for is something called NUA, which is net unrealized appreciation, which, to make a long story short, in many cases we can treat as ordinary income that you could actually have capital gains income as opposed to ordinary income that would be in the regular 401k.
All righty. And on that note, Jim, I think we're going to have to close the show. Went very quickly. I'm going to let you go to your wild and crazy boys' night. Hope I don't get any calls from the Pittsburgh police or anything like that. Everybody out there, thank you for listening to us and participating tonight. As Ed from Florida said, he gave a great commercial. You can get these shows, you can get these archives on retiresecure.com. We're going to be putting up the transcripts very shortly. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks. We'll be live in 2 weeks. John Bledsoe will be joining us, the author of The Gospel of Roth. And if you want to check out his book, you can jump on Amazon.com. That's all for us today, and we'll see you here in 2 weeks. We'll be live again. Certainly feel free to call in. You've been listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Portions of the audio that you just heard will be posted online at retiresecure.com. You can also find a list of upcoming events and topics at retiresecure.com. To seek Jim's advice personally or to speak to a member of his dedicated staff at Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, call 412-521-2732. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk more smart money.